The following episode of Epic Fail is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
You want to hear my story about my epic fuck-up?
I really do.
All right, here it goes. When I first started on Broadway.
Nice shot.
And that time, I did get a black eye.
And he starts shaking, but one by one, the cast has to turn towards me.
And my character yells, strut in a circle. And I got the part.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me for another episode of Epic Fail, the podcast where we hear stories from performers about the times they failed on stage, on screen, and on set. The theme for this week's episode is getting hurt and sick on stage, and my guests really delivered with some epically hilarious tales. Joining me this week, from the Blue Man Group, Greg Balla. From Matilda on Broadway, Ben Thompson. From Broadway's Wicked, Carrie St. Louis. Tony Award winner and starring in the upcoming revival of Carousel, Jesse Mueller. Star of the TV show Full House, John Stamos. Award-winning actress Kristen Chenoweth. Movie and theater actor Phil Ettinger. From the Spring Awakening revival on Broadway, Katherine Gallagher. Star of the upcoming Broadway musical SpongeBob SquarePants, Lily Cooper. One of the stars of the upcoming Broadway revival of Once on This Island, Alex Newell. First up, we have Greg Balla, whose years performing in the Blue Man Group left him with two painful stories.
So I'm playing the center Blue Man, and the center Blue Man actually catches the marshmallows, right? So I'm on the other side of the stage, left is throwing, he's throwing the gumballs, everything's going okay. And the marshmallows, again, this is a spoiler alert, and Blue Man would fire me if they knew that I was telling you this, but hey, what are they going to do, fire me now? I'm no longer working for them. I love you, though, Blue Man Group. So the marshmallows are actually composed of cream cheese. They're marshmallows that are made out of cream cheese. So I'm in the center. Yeah. So picture a mouthful, two bars of Philadelphia cream cheese in your mouth by the end of this.
Ugh.
So you're catching like 30 or 40 of these marshmallows, and it's amazing to watch because it looks like this guy's just stuffing his mouth full. Like, how could there be any more space in there? So I'm catching, and I'm in center, and marshmallows are flying at me. Things are going great, not dropping anything. And then this guy in left, he just winds up and he fires one, and it catches me off guard and it hits me right in the eye, like directly in the eye at full force. And if you can imagine a piece of cold, dense cream cheese being thrown at you about, 60 miles an hour, hits you smack in the eye.
Oh.
And I couldn't see. I'm like, first of all, we don't speak. The Blue Men don't speak, but I'm... And they're like, just making all these noises. And I'm sure there's some children in the front row that were quite
terrified
by that. Yeah, terrified. So I catch this thing in the eye. Now I've got one eye open, and he's still throwing. So things are flying past me, and I hit one sticks to my forehead, one like hits me in the cheek, another one in the eye. And then I look on the ground around me, and it's littered with just cream cheesy marshmallows just everywhere. And finally, by the end of the piece, I look at him, he looks at me, and I'm like kind of swelling and like.
Did you have a black eye after that?
Not that time. However, I did get a black eye doing Blue Man at the very beginning of the show.
We're close together.
We're shoulder to shoulder at the piece called Paint Drumming, and
like the one with the big like white. Sort of
so,
jumbo. No, on the end
this
of it?
Is this is not the PVC pipes. These are giant. If you can picture, they almost look like garbage cans. They're about waist height. They have a deep rim on them, and we pour paint on them so that when you hit them, the paint splashes, and it's this visual illustration of the sonic sound. So when you do that, when you hit them, they splash up and they look beautiful, and it's like a way to communicate with the audience. Like, wow, look at this. The center guy's got this low rumble going, like. And he makes what they call the call. And the call is a drum pattern. It goes boom, 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 boom. And it's just kind of supposed to send out there as a signal to the audience to see what kind of reaction they get.
Yeah.
And so my buddy's in center. I'm standing right to his right in right Blue Man.
Right Blue Man.
And this guy who's standing next to me is a tall guy, pretty powerful. I'm not the tallest guy in the world. I was one of the smaller Blue Men. But this guy is strong. He's built like an ox. And he comes out with the call, boom, 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 boom. And we're listening, and the rumble's going. And then we lean in closer, right? Boom, boom, bugum, bugum, boom. And on his upstroke, he catches me right in the eye with a stick.
Shit.
Just like, And, you know, again, not speaking, and I'm just like, so it kind of knocks me off guard. And we slowed down the video afterwards and looked at the slow motion replay of it. And you just see it's like, and this thing comes, hits me in the eye. And you see me kind of flinch, and then a split second later, my face just kind of was like, I like cringe and fall over to the side, and then like come back. And he knew immediately that he hit me, and he checks in with me, and he looks at me, and he's like, dude, are you okay? And I'm looking at him squinting like, yeah, bro, it's cool. Nice shot. And that time, I did get a black eye, and I walked away with a great shiner.
You wouldn't know until after you take the blue makeup off either.
This is the nice thing about the grease paint is that you can go in with wrinkles, being hungover. It's all going to just be erased right away.
Ben Thompson is a veteran performer who has a close relationship with the orchestra. But in this performance of Rent, he got a little too close.
The opening number, I was supposed to, this is when I was just on my regular track, I was supposed to run down one side of the stage, like, we had like these big trusses, and I had to like climb down one and cross the stage and climb up and cross a balcony and run all the way back over to this other, you know, balcony thing, platform on the other side of stage. And in the middle of the guitar solo, I fell into the orchestra. So they're on stage with us, and I don't just like fall in like oops. I fall into the guitar, the keyboard, the bass player. And unplug it all during the solo. So all you hear is just the drums happening.
Oh my. So lessons, don't get overconfident.
Don't
fall into the band. I've never
That's
really
a good
heard
one for
that,
that's
though.
A good one for life.
Yeah, don't fall into the band.
Don't fall.
Carrie St. Lewis was playing the role of Glinda in Wicked when a bubble malfunction caused quite a disaster on stage.
Wicked's a super technical show, huh?
Super technical show, yeah. So, I mean, aside from just, like, the bubble, sometimes the bubble doesn't work, especially on tour. It's you never really know. It didn't happen to me that often. Glinda flies in on a mechanical bubble, I suppose. That's, like, 50 feet in the air. And that's how my entrance and sort of my exit, I guess. One time, it flies back in at the end. Spoiler alert. And for some reason, like, it wasn't coming out. So I was like, oh, okay, so I'm not going to get back in the bubble. So instead, I turned and saw that it wasn't there and just walked over. It's very dramatic. So I, like, walked over and just stood in a spot where the bubble would be. But then, this is horrible, the bubble was malfunctioning, and it actually spews bubbles. It started dumping bubble juice onto my head. This is not a joke. This is real. So I'm just standing in this, like, rain shower of bubble juice. And then it got even worse because I get handed the Grimory by the Chistri, the monkey. But because I had decided to walk to the side of the stage, I didn't have the Grimory. So I looked at him, and he was holding it, and I sort of just beckoned him, like, like this dramatic, like,
come here, monkey.
Like, come here and bring me my book. Because I didn't know what to do. And he came over and slipped in the bubble juice. And literally, it was like one of those cartoon falls where both legs went out, and he's got these monkey wings, and they're metal, and they just slammed on the ground, and then he crawled off, and he actually was injured, like, for a while, but it was one of those things where I was just standing there in the bubble juice being like, this is going so wrong, like, everything is going wrong.
One of my best friends and an amazing actress, Jessie Mueller, has an insane story about injuring herself during a performance of Waitress.
I sprained my ankle in Waitress and I did it on stage. I kept going, but I remember being like...
During a scene?
Yeah. You know, it didn't... I don't think it popped, but I rolled it. I rolled it really, really bad. And
Stacey
McCluskey was on... Yeah, right, little platforms on the pallets.
Yes. Yes, which helped roll on and off.
Right, roll on and off, and you could put different set pieces on them. And for some reason, one night, I just, like, I crossed in a different way or at a different time than I ever had before. One foot was on the pallet, and one foot went and went right off and was like, that shock went through my body. And Stacy was on, and she was just looking at me. I was like, we got this. We got this. I was like, keep singing, girl.
Oh, no.
And then when I got off stage, I went, I need some, can I have some ice, please? And I think we need to stop, just because I wanted to assess what was going on to see if I could put weight on it, because I hopped off stage pretty much.
Oh, no. I saw you that night.
You were there that night?
No. Afterwards, you put your foot
in
a slow cooker of ice.
Of ice.
I have that photo somewhere.
It's true. I did.
You did. That's what somebody told
you. Per Chris Fitzgerald's suggestion.
Oh, boy.
It's not going to feel good, but you got to put that in ice for 10 minutes. I said, okay, I'll try.
Timer go.
And we put a timer on. Yeah.
You're a trooper.
I finished it. Well, or stupid. I finished the show. We stopped for a second. Because I wasn't sure if I could put weight on it.
They just say, just like, we're going to hold the show.
Yeah. I think they said, ladies and gentlemen, we're holding just for a moment. I don't know if the audience was aware if I'd hurt myself. I think maybe at the end they did, because I did end up wrapping it. And so I feel like if they put two and two together.
Jenna has a...
And they probably saw me hopping bandage. A little bit. Because I think I did... Well, because I did. It
she
was
comes
right
out with
at the
crutches.
Top of Act Two. It was I Didn't Plan It, and that goes right into Bad Idea Reprise. And I did Bad Idea Reprise
with your ankle.
Yeah, because I knew I had. Well, in the set piece, then the kitchen turns. It turns into a gyno office, because my character is in love with her gynecologist. You know, like you do, and so there's a gyno table, and most of the choreography was around it. So I had the feeling that if I needed to, I could put my hand on that and just like bounce around.
The show must go on.
And I was trying to assess, because it was my right ankle, I was trying to assess, like, okay, I have to jump on the thing, but I use my left leg to brace, so I don't have to jump. I don't have to put the weight. I was like, I think I can do this.
Oh my God.
That's what I was trying to figure out in the break of, like, ooh, like, when do I ever have to put weight on my right foot?
Think quick.
You have to try to think quick.
You do. I woke up one morning in the middle of Waitress, and, like, you know, you get all these ailments during the show. You're moving and so active with this pocket of liquid.
Did you ever figure out?
It's called bursitis. Usually 65 to 80 year olds get it. That's what I read on WebMD.
So and you've always been an old soul. I knew that about you.
So, you know, it manifested in my left elbow.
The bursitis.
And I woke up with, like, this very sore, pussy elbow. But it wasn't like, it's just like warm pocket of liquid. Like, your elbow is pretty flat. You could feel the bone. You could feel your little thing. And, like, it was honestly like a mountaintop.
Did you ever figure out, though, what caused it?
They say you can literally just, like, bump it and it could happen. And with the amount of, like, moving that we do, I figured, you know, there must have been something in the show that night that I leaned on my elbow, or even just leaning on my, like, dressing room table.
Don't you find that, though, that when you do hurt yourself, it takes me about 3 days to figure out how it happened?
Yeah.
Like, you'll find a gash or a bruise, and you'll be like, how did that occur? And then it'll be like 3 shows later, and you'll hit that same spot. You go, oh, that's how I did that. That's how that happens.
Exactly. Next, we hear from John Stamos about a time one of the Beach Boys gave an earful of something a lot less enjoyable than Good Vibrations.
One time, Mike Love ate something bad, and we were doing a concert somewhere, and we were in the middle of a medley, and I could see something was weird. And he, you know, it was like a 6-song medley, and he couldn't leave the stage, but he was looking around, and the son of a gun, he had a wireless mic, he takes his mic with him to the bathroom, which was right on the side of the stage, and he's, you know, little douche coop, you don't know, and the guy, for to his credit, kept singing through this medley, but completely destroyed a side stage bathroom. And we were dying on just dying.
I wanted to take a few moments to tell you about Spoke, a new listening app from SiriusXM and a partner of Epic Fail. Spoke is more than just a podcast app. It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real live humans, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast or show by finding the best moments and highlights and organizing them into thematic playlists. For me, there are so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's so overwhelming to start listening to each of them because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song.
If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends or on social media. That's right, hit me on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support Epic Fail or your favorite shows on the At Will Network. This next story is one of my all-time favorites from one of my all-time favorite people, Kristen Chenoweth. The first story you ever told me made me really happy and love you and, you know, sparked the love that I had for you. And I would love if you could tell everybody, just so I could hear it again myself, selfishly, is your Peter Pan story when you were 19?
Sure.
Thank you.
Happy to.
Thank you.
Peter Pan, non-union, flying by Foy, the people that fly people came in to do it. There's a song Peter Pan calls sings, I'm flying, flying. You all might know it. And Peter Pan flies out over the audience. We were in invited rehearsal where people come to the rehearsal, and I fly out over the audience, and the French doors open. I step off on the words, I'm, and then flying, the doors open at the exact same time I fly out over the audience. So I'm behind the doors.
With your harness, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all harnessed up as Peter. I get ready. 5, 6, 7. I step off. Flop. The doors didn't open. I smashed right into the doors. I hung there, I was knocked out. I hung there like kind of Jesus Christ-like. And the doors went, in my mind, it took 4 minutes, probably 10 seconds. And I was hanging there as Peter, hanging. Kind of knocked out. I have a stitch scar over here on the where I hit my head, where the doors, and I hear, Mommy, Peter's dead. And I thought, am I? Well, I heard that. I heard that person say that, so maybe I'm not dead.
That makes me so happy I tear up when you tell me.
You know what? I need to recreate that.
Well, you know that Chris Colfer did that.
Oh, that's right.
Chris Colfer wrote an episode of Glee, and we love that story so much, the two of us, that he put that in there.
You know what? That's right. It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me.
Phil Ettinger had to think fast in the middle of a scene, but he handled it like a pro.
I was doing a show, I was doing in school, This Is Our Youth, and which is like two guys, they deal with like a lot of drugs and other stuff, and at the end of the show, the character comes back and he's freaking out because he just bought these drugs that he did some of, and like we just realized that someone died from the same drugs, and he's like freaking out about it like, mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen? He could have died, like all this stuff. And then I guess we were like so tense when we were doing it, he started to like get a crazy bloody nose and just gushing down his face. And then, like, at that point, we're literally talking about, like, he's talking about if like, he's these drugs and, like, someone just died and all that stuff. So, like, we had to acknowledge the fact that, like,
he was dying with blood.
Like, he just is cut, like, blood is dripping down his face. And then he just turns to me and he's like, am I going to die? So he just went rogue. Like, no, he just went off script. And we're like, maybe 6 pages done with the show. And so I'm like, oh my God. And like, we just had to like improvise our way through the rest of like a beautifully written like Kenneth Lonergan script.
And like, written by Phil. Yeah.
And for that show specifically, I remember we finished and I sat with my head between my legs for like 15 minutes being like,
Nope.
But then afterwards, like, there were people who had never seen or read the show. They were like, that was, like, the craziest, like, special effects we've ever seen. Like, that, the blood looks so real.
No.
Yeah.
Next is Catherine Gallagher, who has some epic fail moments that have left more than just a mental scar.
Did you ever get hurt on stage?
Oh, yeah. There was a tally on Twitter called Kathy Takes a Tumble. For how many times I fell on stage.
What?
I'm the clumsiest person. Also, to be fair, like, I was, like, dancing with a guitar. So, like, you lose a limb.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Or two.
Two, basically.
Yeah, so you can't, like, you know. Okay, but this was the worst. So it was during previews. And there was a time when Lexi and I jumped off the stage during Totally Fucked, during the blah, blah, blah. And we, like, first we ran up the stairs to the balcony for the blah, 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 blah. So, by the way, super awkward, because by the time you get up there, everyone can hear you and singularly you pretty loud. And you're, like, panting because you just sprinted upstairs. And you're, like, we cut that, thankfully.
Okay,
so after that, then we just jumped into the aisles, right? And so we're doing the blah,
from
blah,
the
blah,
stage?
From the stage. So
that's
we
pretty
like,
high up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
With a guitar or no?
No.
Oh,
I, God I didn't play in Totally Fucked, which I was very thankful for.
Right.
So I, like, jump off the stage, and I'm, like, running, and I'm, like, in someone's face, and I'm, like, blah, 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 blah. And I realize I've got about 3 seconds to get down to the end of the stage and make my mark for the end of the song. And what I don't think about is that the floor is raked.
Yeah, you're on a ramp.
I'm squatting, singing to someone, and I'm like, I pivot, so I'm in a runner's lunge, and I start sprinting down a ramp thing. This all happened so fast, it felt like 10 minutes to me. And I start realizing that I'm gonna go down, and at this point, I see I have two options. And I remember also looking. Steven Sater was, like, sitting right here, and he looked
Steven
at me.
Steven Sater wrote Spring Awakening, you guys. Like, he wrote the musical, like, the book for Spring Awakening.
The, like, sweetest man on the planet. And he's sitting there with this look of, like, horror for my safety. And it's at this moment where I'm like, I can stop, drop, and roll and maybe hit my head on a seat. Or I can just knee slide and, like, spin like I'm, like, a boy in some sort of, like, 80s rock movie.
Yeah.
Maybe ripping the skin off my knee, but, like, it might look cool.
Yeah.
So I, like, do this crazy, like, knee pivot, and I, like, I'm, like, totally fucked, and I throw my arms up, and it's, like, so dramatic. And I, like, made my mark, and I was, like, so excited. And everyone's faces around me were kind of confused because they thought I was falling, but then I guess I pulled it off. I get up. There is blood. I wear tights in the show. There's blood, like, gushing down my knee. But I'm on stage for the rest of the show, so I'm like, here we go, kids. And I talk to Spencer, and I'm like, did you see me wipe out? And he goes, oh, I thought you were making a choice. And then he goes, I wouldn't keep it. And I was like, me either.
Lily Cooper tells us about the art of the understudy mid-show switch, which she perfected in this performance of Wicked.
When I was in Wicked, I was the standby for Elphaba. So my job was to go to the theater and, you know, in case anything happened last minute, I would go on for Elphaba. And so that role is notoriously challenging and difficult. It happens every now and then that somebody gets sick or their voice sort of dies out, and so they have to call the standby to go on in the middle of the show. And it's rare, but I had the opportunity to do that. Oof. Because the girl that I covered, who was such a rock star, was starting to feel sick before the show, but she thought that she could do it. But the stage manager told me to just, like, prepare, like, warm up, you know, just get ready. And I think about a half an hour into the show, I get that intercom call of Lily Cooper, please report to the Elphaba dressing room right now. And it was horrifying. My heart, like, dropped.
Oh, gosh.
And I run into the Elphaba dressing room. They slap green makeup on me, like, in 6 minutes. It was so impressive. And I can hear over the intercom, like, she's still doing the show. They haven't stopped the show at all.
Wow.
So I get into the costume for the next scene. I am backstage in the wing. I see her on stage. We sort of make eye contact, and she's like, she looks very relieved, you know, that she can, like, leave the stage and not have to come back. And so during the transition between scenes, she walks off. We, like, high five. I walk on, and I finish the show as Elphaba.
Whoa.
And the crazy thing is, like, I mean, it's like a green girl, so, like, people will believe that, like, okay, there's only one green girl. But in the first few rows, I was, like, 3 or 4 inches taller than this girl. So the first few rows of the audience, they were like, wait a minute. Who is that?
Wow. Wow.
So
I
made it through, and it was pretty bananas. Like, I was fueled with adrenaline. It was actually really exciting.
Alex Newell just can't seem to stay on his feet while performing, and it always makes for a hilarious story.
I was 13 years old and I was doing Stuart Little. And I was Snowbell the Cat. And I was the fiercest thing motherfucking walking. And at 13, I knew this. And so I finished my song and I have to like exit. It's theater in the round. So one, you get lost if you turn around too many times. And so I turned around too many times during the scene. I went up one of the wrong aisles. And then I proceeded to face plant whilst a spotlight on me in front of a theater packed of screaming children. And I twisted my ankle in doing that. It haunts me. I still can't point my right foot completely. Like, I'm just there on the ground. And it was like that That's So Raven moment. Like, I was down and then I was like, I'm okay.
Did you say I'm okay?
No.
Oh.
I was mortified at 13 with all these, like, five-year-olds screaming.
Cry?
No, I mean, I didn't realize that I had twisted my ankle until I had, like, gotten back to my dressing room and I realized that I couldn't walk straight.
But that you face-planted.
Or that I face... Well, let's not go back to that moment. Just, like, this black kid in an all-white costume, giant wig, just rolling on the ground. Which brings me to my second epic fail of our little television show, that stupid America number that we did for one of the nationals, in which I fell completely on the ground and just rolled. And no one yelled cut. No one knew that it was happening. I was just on the ground rolling in my pink and black show choir dress, just like, help.
No. Yes. I don't remember this.
See, no one remembers it. I was literally, because it was like, cameras were all the way in the back of the theater, so they weren't stopping for anything.
Right.
Because they're like, it's a wide shot. No one's going to see Alex's fat ass rolling on the stage.
Did you get hurt?
I mean, no. I got up and finished the number, of course. I think the only person that actually saw it was Kevin because it was his fault.
It was?
It was his fault. I tripped on his wheelchair.
That's a wrap on episode 3. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to follow at Will Radio and at Jenna Ushkowitz to stay updated with all the latest. I also want to hear your favorite fail from each one of my episodes. So go to my Twitter page to cast your vote now, and the winners will be featured in the final episode we're calling the Epic Fail Awards, chosen by you, the listeners. Next week on Epic Fail.
The guy yanks me down to whisper my ear and says, I have no legs.
Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill now.